And if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. I'm so glad that we get to be together this morning, that we get to be here at church, especially because it's Resurrection Sunday. It's a morning where we get to celebrate and to really give extra focus, extra attention and special focus on the fact that Jesus is risen, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that Jesus is alive today. That's what we celebrate every Sunday, and it's especially what we get to think about this morning. So it's a very special Sunday. And it's also an especially great Sunday because this morning we are going to start together looking through a new book of the Bible here in middle school. So I want to invite you to look and turn to the book of Ephesians. And if you zoom out on the Bible, if you kind of go way up high from 30,000 feet and you look at the Bible, you'll find that it's made up of 66 books. There's two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Ephesians is in the New Testament. And the books in order from the New Testament start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those books we call the Gospels. They tell us the Gospel. They tell us good news, what that word means. Good news about Jesus, that God's Son came and he lived here on this earth. He lived a perfect life and he came and died on a cross and he rose again from the grave. And that's good news for our lives. And then next, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find the book of Acts, which tells us what happened after Jesus rose from the grave and he went up into heaven and he began to build a church in this world. And then after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, we get a few letters written by Paul. There's Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and then Galatians, and then we come to Ephesians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and here we find Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians. And I'm really excited that we're going to be studying through this short letter here in the Bible. Every Sunday and Wednesday, we're going to be looking at this when we're together. So this is what our focus is going to be totally on when you come here to the basement. And so let's start by reading just the first few verses of Ephesians this morning from Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you that we get to begin studying another part of the Bible together here in middle school. Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we seek to learn what these verses and these pages of the Bible mean for our lives. Lord, they mean so much, and so we just ask that you would help us to understand it and to be changed by what these verses say. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm guessing you probably have like a list of some things that you might want to do this year coming up ahead. Maybe it's not written down on like in a notebook. That might be kind of weird if you wrote down everything you want to do. But I'm guessing that you have a list of some things that you might like to see happen in your life this year. And I'm not sure exactly what that would be on your list, but I know that you probably have some things that you'd hope and you want to see happen this year in middle school or this year as you go into high school, some of you eighth graders. Maybe it's making the team that you'd really like to join, or it's getting first chair in band with that instrument you like, and that you play. Or maybe it's a visiting a new place or finally getting the courage to write X2 at Magic Mountain for the first time. Maybe some of you have as a goal that you would be the Gaga champ at winter camp. There's a whole list of things that you could think of as a goal that you might have or something that you'd like to make sure is part of your life this coming year. And I don't know exactly what you're hoping for or what you're focused on, whatever that might be. Maybe if you're in eighth grade, it's just finally making it to high school. I don't know exactly what you'd want to see happen in your life this year. But I do know that where we're going to spend some time here in this part of the Bible this summer and in the next few weeks and months here in Exchange, here in Ephesians, is something that you should make sure you get to know, even now while you're in middle school. Here, this part of the Bible is something that you should want to have as part of your life. I believe that with my whole heart, that this is something that you need to have in your life right now. A letter, just a short few chapters here in Ephesians that has truth that you need in your life. And Ephesians is an especially important book for you to focus on and to learn from and to start to make sure you understand and that you get to know even now while you're here in middle school or as you head into high school this year. Why do I say that? Well, that's true with all of the Bible, of course, but I think Ephesians especially is one of those books that has the potential to transform your life as you go through middle school. There's so many stories of people who were 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, whose lives were completely transformed and changed because they understood what Ephesians is all about. I believe this with all of the Bible. We need God's word for our life, but I want to make the point this morning that if you're in middle school, if you're about to go into high school, if you're here in this room this morning, you need Ephesians in your life. It has the power to change your life, to transform you. And I want to help you understand what that looks like and why I believe that and why we're going to study this part of the Bible together here on Sundays and Wednesdays in Exchange. Why are we going to study this book of Ephesians that's so important for your life? Well, here's just a big idea I want to give you this morning if you want to write it down. It's that Ephesians is for middle schoolers. Ephesians is a great book for middle schoolers. It's very relevant to your life, and it is important for your life right now, and it's a great book for us to begin to study here in Exchange. Why is Ephesians so important for a middle schooler, for your life? Why should we want to learn from it? Well, let me give you just three words to help you answer that as we start studying this book together. Three words. And our first word that I want you to see is backstory. Backstory. Ephesians has a backstory, some background that helps us understand what God can do in people's lives. And that's why we need to study it. We all know about stories that have a backstory. Maybe it's a movie series that you love or a book that you like, and a few years later, they come out with a prequel. And it's a prequel that's maybe even like a spinoff or something that you can't wait to see because it gives you some background on what's happening with your favorite story and with your favorite characters. And when we look at this letter of Ephesians, there's also a backstory that's given to us in other places of the Bible. This is real history. It's not just fiction. These are from real times, 2,000 years ago, right after the time of Jesus. after Jesus ascended and went up into heaven, Paul wrote this letter to a group of Christians called the Ephesians. And in another part of the Bible, in Acts, in chapters 18 and 19, about 10 years before this letter was written, Paul first came to this important city of Ephesus, and he was, it says, preaching God's word. God's word was having an impact in this city as he was telling people about the truth of Jesus. And for 3 years, Paul lived in the city of Ephesus and was a pastor there, and he was calling on and he was showing the people there how to repent from their evil practices and to turn away from what they were doing that was offending God, and that they needed to believe in Jesus and be saved. Ephesus was known for its sin. It was known for its worship of false idols. They even had a temple that was known across the world as one of the greatest temples, where people in their evil and in their sin worshiped a false god named Artemis. Ephesus was a sinful place. But here was Paul, years before writing this letter, in this city, sharing with them the truth about how God sent his son Jesus to save people from their sins. Acts 20:24 says, Paul told them about Jesus and about the good news of the grace of God. And there were people in Ephesus that were hearing this good news and that were coming to learn how to be saved from their sins, saved from their evil against God, and how to be rescued. The story of Ephesians and of Ephesus is the story of God saving people from the worst kinds of sins and from the most unlikely place in Ephesus and making those people his own. It's so incredible to think that God does that in people's lives. And now with all of that backstory, just a few years later, Paul now is far away and he sits down to write this letter to these Christians. And you see in verse 1 that he calls the Ephesians saints. He says this letter is to the saints who were at Ephesus. That's not saying that these Christians were just an elite group, like a Hall of Fame Christians that only some people can reach. No, Paul's calling all of them saints. That means that they're holy. They're set apart people. They're God's own people. At one time, they were sinners stuck in their evil. And now Paul says that they are saved by Christ, holy, set apart for God. Their lives totally transformed. Once they were in their evil, and now they're saints, saved. And it says, verse 1, that they are believers in Jesus. They have faith in Jesus. They're trusting and relying on Jesus in order to be forgiven and in order to be brought to God in a right relationship. They are saved through faith in Jesus, through trusting in Jesus who died and rose again in their place. That was the story of Paul himself. It's not just the Christians at this church in Ephesus. It's Paul. Paul had once been an enemy of God, walking in his sin, going against Jesus, until one day God saved him from his sins through faith in Christ. That's the backstory of Ephesians. People who were once lost in their sin now are saved through believing in Jesus. And what's so incredible, and what we'll see as we get into this letter, is that the same thing is true today. The same is just as true and just as possible for middle schoolers even now. If you're lost in your sin, you can be saved through faith in Christ. You can be saved by God's grace. You might know this morning that you're under God's judgment, that you deserve all of the consequences that your sin is going to bring in your life. But here we know that God gives us hope in the gospel. He gives us good news that people can be saved through faith in Christ. And we'll see in Ephesians that because of God's great love for us, that's what he loves to do, save people who are in sin. He can take people whose backstory is all about their sin and evil and disobedience to God, and he can forgive them, and he can save them, and he can make them new. He can give people everlasting life. And Ephesians will show us how that's possible, how that was possible for these people, and how that's possible for your life too. God is in the business of saving sinners, making people his own and transforming them, making them new creations. And so Ephesians is a great place for our focus to be here while you're in middle school, to point us to a God who takes people and makes them new creations and saves sinners. There's another word to show us why Ephesians is for middle schoolers. This word is belonging. Belonging. In verse 2, Ephesians shows us just a little bit of an idea of what it's like to be a Christian. What's it like to belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says to the Christians who belong to God, sort of a greeting. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." I just love that greeting. That's what Paul wants to remind them of and to help them think about right away. He wants to get into the amazing truth about who God is and what God does. He brings up God's grace and God's peace in our lives if we belong to him. If God is our Father, we know all about grace and peace. If you're a Christian, you now belong to God and you've experienced God's grace. Grace means God's kindness towards you, even when you actually deserved his punishment. God shows kindness and love towards people who deserve punishment. Grace is this, maybe an illustration as if like your mom tells you to clean your room. And she says, "Your room is an absolute mess. I didn't even know you had that many socks that are all out over your floor. You need to clean up your room. And if you clean up your room, I'll take you out all day to be with your friends at the beach or to go to a Lakers game or to go to Disneyland. I'll do whatever you want if you just clean up this room." But not only do you not clean your room, not only do you not let it get fixed up a little bit, you actually let that room get messier. You deserve to be in huge trouble. But when your mom comes in and she sees that messy room, not only do you not get into trouble, your mom says, "Let's go. You don't deserve to go, but let's go. Let's go to the beach and let's go to a Lakers game. Let's go to Disneyland. Let's do it all. Invite all your friends, even though you don't deserve it." That's a picture of grace. Instead of being in huge trouble for what you've done wrong, instead of you getting everything that you deserve for your sin, God decides to show you kindness. Instead of punishment, there's only his love and his goodness towards you. God gives you what you don't deserve. And if you're a Christian, if you now belong to God's family, that's your story. God's shown you grace. God's given you what you don't deserve by providing a way for you to be saved through his son coming and dying in your place. And if you're a Christian, you now belong to God's family. You now live in peace that comes because God has shown you grace. There's no more broken relationship between you and God that comes because of your sin. That broken relationship's totally fixed, totally restored, because God has shown you grace. And now between you and God, there's only peace. If you belong to God, you know God's grace that brings you peace. That's what it looks like to belong to God. Why is Ephesians so important for our lives? Why should we want to learn about it even now in middle school? Because it's going to show us what it's like to belong to God's family, to know God's grace, his kindness when you only deserve punishment. It shows us about how we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. A question you need to ask that I hope you are asking and that you need to keep on asking is if you belong to God's family. Do I know God the Father and Jesus Christ? Have I experienced God's grace in my life? Have I experienced God forgiving me and giving me access to God in heaven instead of giving me what I deserve, which is punishment? Do I have God's peace in my life that comes from knowing Christ? This book will help us know all about what it looks like to belong to God and to know his grace and his peace that comes through Jesus Christ. But there's one more word that I want you to think about as we think about studying Ephesians. Why should Ephesians be something we study here in Exchange? We see the backstory, we see belonging, and one last word is blessings. Blessings. And here in verse 3 is the start of this long sentence that goes all the way down to verse 14. All of this is one big section that starts with the word, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's all about praising God, giving honor and attention and worship, just admiring out loud how great God is. If you go to travel and you go to see like some great place, maybe you've been to Yosemite before and you know what it's like to be there and to see all of the beauty and how awesome and impressive it is. It's almost overwhelming how incredible a place like Yosemite or like the Grand Canyon is or like Yellowstone Park is. And when you're there, when you take that all in, when you see how incredible something like that is, it's almost like you have to say something. You almost have to say, wow. You almost have to say, this place is amazing. Paul is saying, I've experienced and seen how amazing God is. And he just has to say out loud, God is worthy to be praised. Blessed be God. Wow, God is so incredible. That's what Christians' response to understanding God should look like, to say, I bless and I praise God with all of my heart. God is good and he is someone I have found my greatest joy in knowing. When I think about God, it makes my heart overflow with worship and praise and joy that I almost have to just say out loud, God is amazing. Why is that? Why do we bless God according to verse 3, according to what Paul says? Why is that? Why should we think this way about God, blessing him with all of our hearts, being so impressed and in awe of who he is? The answer is there in verse 3. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If you're a Christian, God has blessed you. God has given you the greatest possible gift there is to give. God's given you what nothing else in this world can ever match up to, no matter how great it might be. God has given you salvation. God's given you salvation in Christ. Salvation means that God has saved you from your sins. And not only has God rescued you from judgment, God has given you overwhelming gifts and joy that will last not only in this life, but will last for eternity. And as we'll see as we start to study these next few verses next week, these are blessings that are so incredible. Salvation in Christ, it's almost hard to even wrap our minds around. The verses below tell us that God is one who's chosen us. God has made us holy and blameless. God has adopted us. It tells us that God has given us his free grace. God has redeemed us. God has forgiven us. God has given us an inheritance that's his own. God's given us his Holy Spirit, and God has given us hope. If we're Christians, we bless God because he's blessed us, giving us salvation in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So why is Ephesians so important for our lives? Why should we want to learn about it? Why should we want to have it in our focus here in the basement in the next few weeks? It's because it shows us to a God that we should praise with all our hearts, a God that we should want to know better and better, a God who overwhelms our hearts with joy and love back to him, because he is a God who's already loved us, a God who saves us. I don't know exactly what you're hoping for and what you're focused on in the year ahead. There's some good things to be focused on, but I believe that Ephesians is a very important thing for you to know while you're here in middle school. It shows us to a God that can save us, a God that is working out an amazing plan that we are only beginning to know if we know Christ. And there are so many stories out there of people who were even young, people who were 12, 13, 14, whose lives were transformed because they understood what this book is talking about. They understood that God could save them from their sins and that God can make them a new creation and that God's doing something incredible in their lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you love us and that you've given us this incredible book to help us know more about you, about what you can do in our lives, and about what our future holds if we know Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And I pray that every student would understand this good news, that you would save and that you would help them to understand what it means that you have saved them. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.